almost got me out of my seat, jumping around, clapping my hands. And we did almost. We did want to, I love when other people make mistakes. You forgot somebody. I just wanted to point it out in front of everyone. And we have Diana Graves has worked on the bus. Where's Diana? Is she in here today? She left. She's hurt her feelings. Oh, there she is right there. Diana, you've worked on the bus for many years. Is that right? You're not going to hold your fingers up? Okay, that's fine. I won't embarrass you. We also have Scott and Becca Friedel. They pick up bus kids every week with Daniel Graves. And I don't know where you all are. Can you just put your hand up so folks can see you? Thank you all very much. And I don't know if Daniel, I don't know if he... Oh, Junior Church right now. And we want to make sure that you guys were recognized also. We appreciate you. My wife was a bus child, and she was picked up on the bus. And I thank the Lord that somebody picked her up, because I don't know how I would have found her and married her if that didn't happen. And praise the Lord for that. But if you would do me a favor and just pray for me during this message. This is one of those messages, and I wish I knew that we had an evangelist sitting back here. I would have called you last night and took the pressure off. But if you would just pray for me, we're going to just go to a very familiar passage in Scripture, 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 is the passage we'll be in. And in 1 John 1, we'll look at verse 7, 8, and 9, and then we're going to go into a subject that once I say the word, then some of you are going to close down, and some of you are going to shut up into a ball, some of you might roll into the fetal position, and everyone's going to act a little bit different. It's one of those messages where, you know, when you're asked to preach, you wish the Lord would give you something. I have a really good message about the harmony between hunting and the church. I'm a hunter. I have a really good message about Jesus. It's an exciting message about Jesus. And when you're praying and saying, Lord, what is it that you want? And the Lord says, I want you to speak on this. You're like, no, that's not it. You know, and so, but we're gonna get there in a minute. And First John. Good. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 and 9. We'll read it, and then I will pray. And I will get into the message. It says here in 1 John 1, 7 through 9, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. It says in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Would you pray with me right now? Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, Lord, and your word has truth. And Father, we need truth today. Truth is what sets us free. Truth is what leads us and guides us. And Father, you are full of truth, and we need you today. We need you to, Lord, also just put your healing hand upon those that are sick. We need you to touch those that are hurting today. We need you to lift up those Christians that are struggling, or maybe they're just falling apart. Lord, we need you just that your Holy Spirit would comfort at this time. Father, I pray that you'd use this message, that you'd touch hearts. And at the end, Lord, I pray that you'd be lifted up, that you'd be glorified in what is said. In your precious name, Jesus, amen. I'm going to read off a few words to you, and you try to find out if you can see where they all go together. Here's the words. Bitterness, anger, hatred, grudges, temper, rage, malice, slander. This is sometimes out of control. And there's more to that effect. But can I just quickly pull you all into one word? And I want to give you this word. All of these can fall underneath this word of unforgiveness. With unforgiveness, a lot of these pop up in our life, and they show their nasty heads in our life of unforgiveness. We realize as Christians, we are called and we're even commanded to forgive. Let me read you a few passages of Scripture. Ephesians 4, verse 32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Matthew 6, 14 through 15 says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." In Mark 11, verse 25 and 26, it says, "And when you stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." Lastly, I'd like to read Colossians 3:13. It says, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." The word is forgive. The word is forgiveness. This word, as I say it out loud, some of you in your hearts right now, I know you feel the pain. And you feel, and something just happened in your head and in your mind and in your conscience. And some of you inside of you are just like, there's no way. Some of you, when I said the word forgive, you literally blocked it out and pushed it aside and said, "I'm fine." Some of you are sitting here today and the bitterness is popping up in your life and you think it's normal for you. You think it's okay. Some of you have an anger problem. You wonder where it stems from. And you say, "Well, my anger problem is just because I'm Irish." You know, you're like, "Oh, I just blame it on my culture. My anger problem is because I have too many children running around the house and they're a big mess." You know, that's my, no. A lot of times, if we're honest with ourselves, which is what some of these verses talk about, being honest with ourselves would be just like 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You know, that verse is telling you to be honest with yourself. Some people can lie to themselves and they actually believe their own lie. Now, that's kind of insanity, but that's the truth. Sometimes we do. We lie to ourselves and we believe it. You know, if you're going to say, "Hey, there's no God," one day when you're going to die and you're going to have to kneel before a God. And you can say that he's just, I only believe in science. Well, the science that you believe in was created by God. You know, you have to be honest with yourself. This thing of forgiveness is an issue. It's so tender. It's so touchy. It's such a issue that a lot of people want to stay away from. But it's an issue that God himself brings up in his word. And it's an issue that I believe if you have any age behind you, you're going to realize that in your life, someone, sometime, someplace has done some wrongdoing against you or your family maybe. And that you just take it inside and you have that anger and you have that bitterness, you have that wrath, or you have those thoughts and you even in your mind will say, "Man, I'll never forgive them," or "I'll never forget." Or some of you might just be this way. You say, "Well, you know what, I'll just forget about it and I'll be fine." And God here has a plan of forgiveness for you and for me. Now, we know the ultimate plan, God's forgiveness, was when he gave his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins, so our sins could be forgiven, so that we could have a new relationship with him. We need to understand that forgiveness. And that forgiveness, if you have not received that forgiveness today, today's the day you should receive that forgiveness. When we're talking today about this word forgiveness, now we do realize, like I said before, Christians are commanded to forgive. They're called to forgive. Is it easy? And we shake our heads, no. Has anybody in here ever had to forgive before? Yes. Is it easy? No. Is it fun? Not always. Do I want to do it? Most of the time, no. But should I forgive? Well, that's a big question. That question, if we read through those scriptures again, we can see that God is concerned about you and me and about this thing of forgiveness. God is our great example, showing us Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. He took his own blood, washed our sins. He's the great example. But as we look through this thing of forgiveness, I want to just look into what forgiveness is not. A lot of times when people think of forgiveness, they have this horrible action that has happened to them, a horrible situation that has happened to them, a mistreating, a wrongdoing, and automatically they think, if I forgive, and they have a very wrong philosophy on forgiveness or biblical forgiveness. And I want to tell you real quickly just a few little things to help you that maybe you could understand what forgiveness is not, and then we could get into what forgiveness might be. It says here, let's look into forgiveness. Do you know, when you forgive, it does not mean that whatever happened is okay or right. And a lot of times folks struggle with this area of forgiveness because they think, well, if I forgive so-and-so for what they did in my life, I will have to acknowledge that everything is okay. Now, let me tell you, that is not true. That is not true. That is a lie that Satan tries to sell you so that you will not forgive. Now, forgiveness is a freeing of your life. You say, how do you know that? You look at your salvation. You are bondaged in sin, and Jesus Christ came, and he shed his blood, and he forgave you. And what did he do to you? He freed you from that penalty of sin. It's a freeing. It's a freeing for you and for me. And a lot of us, we look at it and think, no, wait, if I forgive them, it's gonna say that everything is okay and right. Can I tell you today, that is not true. That is a lie. Satan's trying to sell you, and it's not true. Let me tell you this to also, that it does not mean, when you say you forgive, it does not mean that you are going to reconcile with that person right away. This is a scary part of forgiveness, and forgive me, I'm going to be a little sensitive here. This is a scary part for people that have been abused in any way, verbally, sexually, physically, spiritually abused. This is a very hard part for you, meaning that you think if you forgive, there has to be reconciliation or you have to have a joining together again. Can I tell you, that is not always the case. And in your case of abuse, that is not the case. And it scares some people to death that they think that I have to forgive, and when I forgive, there has to be reconciliation. No. That's not always so true. Now, is there reconciliation sometimes in forgiveness? Yes, there is. But that comes down the road, and that comes with something special that we'll talk about a little later. But there's another one, forgiveness. What it is not. Forgiveness does not mean that all hurt is over or okay. Now, I will venture out to say that some of you in here have been hurt, mistreated. You've had something done to you. Somebody has said something to you, and it has caused hurt or pain in your life, and you're dealing with it in the way that you think you're supposed to deal with it. The hurt that you have has suppressed your spiritual life, and you feel like if I forgive that person, that, you know, all the hurt will be. No, forgiveness is not a magic wand or a pill you take that just dissolves hurt. But forgiveness is the start for healing that hurt. Let me give you one more here. Number four on my list. What forgiveness is not? It does not mean that the one that did wrong to you is off the hook. A lot of times we have a misconception on forgiveness. A lot of times we think, if I forgive that person, I'm letting him off the hook. I'm letting him go. I'm letting him be that they're right and that I have to take it all. Can I say to you today, that is not the forgiveness that God is talking about. That is not right. When you're forgiving, and in biblical forgiveness, it's different than that. God has a perfect way to forgive. And can I ask you, how many of you here would say, I believe, I trust God in my life? Would you just raise your hand? So that's your testimony today to the Lord of your faith in him and your trust in him, saying, I trust that God knows what he's doing in my life. I trust that God can take care of my situations in my life. Now, I understand, as I said forgiveness, I understand some of you closed me down right away. Some of you shut a door in your life that you never want to open again. I understand that some of your hurts just came out in front of you and you relived them in your life and in your eyes. And you're saying, no, there is no way on earth that I will ever forgive them for doing that. There's no reason that I should give them. There's no purpose that I should forgive them. And you have those struggles in your life, but can I say to you today that that is a trap from Satan, and he's using it to hold on to you. I want to share with you just real quickly let's look at what forgiveness is all about. When you forgive, you set yourself free from bondage of the offense. And I want you to understand this. Your bitterness, your unforgiveness, your anger is the very thing that imprisons you, and it keeps you torturing you through your daily life, thinking that you're going to get back at the one that mistreated you. Now, along with this mistreating or this unforgiveness comes this great demon of bitterness. This bitterness was once explained to me this way. Bitterness is this, is me drinking poison, hoping that my enemy dies. Now that's not going to work real well, but that's what bitterness does to your life. When you are unforgiving, you become, and you have a bitter spirit inside of you, an angry and evil spirit inside of you, you're just getting mad and angry. If I could say the person's name that hurt you, the anger just boils up inside of you. That's bitterness. And it's like drinking poison, hoping that they die, but the whole time I'm just hurting myself. You know, Satan loves it when Christians get into that position. He loves it. It's something that he loves to use. Now, I have a little example up here, and let's see if I can do this. Ryan, can you come up here and help me out real quick? I have here a rope, and we're going to use this rope as the bondage of sin in our life. And this rope here, a lot of times what happens is that somebody mistreats us or does something wrong, and all of a sudden we get offended and we get hurt. And by the way, sometimes your hurt and what they do is truly wrong. It is wrong to you. But just because one person's sin affected your life, because we know that sin affects, how? Because the wages of sin is death. So we understand that there's going to be a payment for sin. Sin always hurts the innocent. Sin always affects those around you. Sin always affects. So therefore, what happens is that just because of one person's sin doesn't mean it's okay for you to keep sinning in your bitterness. Bitterness is a sin. And you say, but I'm hurt inside. Yes, you truly are hurt. But let me encourage your heart today. There is one that can take your hurt and they can love on you so much. They can start to heal you. And that one is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ wants you to understand there's forgiveness that you can have in your life, and he wants you to understand that it's yours for the asking, it's yours for the taking. But let me show you what happens a lot of times to Christians. Christians will take a hold of this, and sin will bind you all up, and it gets you in positions and places that you don't want to be in. This is fun. I like tying my son up. And what happens is this, is a lot of times you just hold on to your own bondage due to your own feelings and your own desires. A lot of times we want revenge. So you're just going to hold on to the mistreating of you. You're going to hold on to the unforgiveness, thinking that if I hold on, I can handle this situation. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. God can take care of this situation. This thing of unforgiveness, many of us have these things in our heart, but we like to hold on to our problems and our issues and our when people mistreat you. And a lot of times people, what happens is that you think you have control of your life, but there's another end to the rope. And the other end of the rope, if you're a Christian or if you're unsaved alike, guess who has a hold of the other end of the rope? You guessed it. Satan does. This is a leash. This is a control that Satan can have on you as a Christian. Satan, if you're saved, are you saved? Putting you on the spot. All right. Are you saved? Okay, I just want to make sure. And if you're saved, Satan can't possess you, can't move in. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God is inside of you. Satan can't dwell where the Holy Spirit dwells. And if you're saved, Ryan, the Holy Spirit of God is inside you. You can do a quick dance and hallelujah for that one, because then Satan can't get inside of you, son. So therefore, that only way Satan can control you is this way right here, holding that, saying, hey, I got the bitterness right here, and you're holding on to it, and you're exactly where I want you. If I'm Satan, which I'm not, Satan can control you this way. You think, Ryan, you want to serve the Lord. You want to do something for God. So go ahead, turn and try to go serve the Lord. Well, Satan says, whoa, that's far enough, Ryan. Wait, you know what? I'll let you go a little bit. There you go. Oh, no, you're no, I can't do it. You know, you can't. Ryan, you can't serve the Lord the way you want to serve the Lord is because you're bound to Satan. You're bound to your sin. You're bound to it because you won't let go of your bitterness. He's not really bitter, I'm just saying. But that was fun to preach at you like that. Now, Ryan, hold on a second. If you want free, if you want forgiveness, if you want freedom from your sin, what would you have to do to get it in this situation? What would you have to do? So let me see. Give it to me. So he can take it and he can hand it off and you're going to represent God.
Oh, yeah.
No. The fourth part of the deity of Christ. All right, brother. If you're a Christian, forgiveness comes from God. And what happens in this transaction is this. He realizes, I can't whoop this sin by myself. The same thing that happened to me at salvation. I could not get my salvation by myself. I needed to go to God and God would give me forgiveness of my sins. The same thing happens to you as a Christian. But what happens is all of a sudden we get saved and we get mature in Christianity and all of a sudden we think we know it all. But what happens here is that a saved person then turns to the one that can give them forgiveness and he hands them forgiveness and all of a sudden this young man is free to do the will of God and Satan all of a sudden is on the line. And guess what? God can control Satan just fine. And you know, let's give Ryan a hand real quick. Ryan, thank you. And God, can you hold on to that? Your bitterness, your unforgiveness, your anger, it'll hold you like a prison. When you forgive an offense, you are not setting the victimizer free. You are setting yourself free. You can forgive and not be reconciled back to the victimizer. And this is a huge step for many that are abused because it wouldn't make sense if you say, well, I forgive them, and all of a sudden you get back together. If somebody steals something from you and you say, okay, you know, I forgive them, but you wouldn't say, okay, can you hold my wallet for me? You don't have to have a communication back with them. But here you can forgive, and it says, I have here, it says, when you forgive, you are putting your faith in God. Let me read you a little thing about forgiveness here. Forgiveness is this. Forgiveness is letting go of them and the wrong that they did to you and putting it all in God's hands so he can take care of it the right way. Question, where does forgiveness come from? Forgiveness comes from God. God gives us, grants us forgiveness. You might say, well, forgiveness comes from my heart. Let me explain this. You have nothing good inside of you. All good comes from God. Therefore, to get forgiveness, you have to ask for forgiveness. You know the verse, ye have not because you help me out. This forgiveness is a gift. At salvation, you had to ask, God, I need you. You raised your hands and said, Lord, I have to have you. If I don't have you, my sins are going to take control of my life. But you have to ask. There's a little boy. He said, I asked God for a bike, but I know God doesn't work that way. So I stole the bike and asked God for forgiveness instead. I thought, man, smart little boy. Forgiveness is saying, I am ready to put my life situation by faith in the loving hands of God and moving on with healing and growth in my life. We look at the story of the rope and we look how we're bound to our sins in a certain way and how Satan has control on you because of your unforgiveness. Satan has a control on you. Many Christians will go years and years in their life with Satan just holding on to their life and they're wondering, what is wrong with my spiritual growth? Why can't I move forward spiritually? What is going on with my family and the issues of my family? And a lot of times it stems from our unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Here's a story. A woman got caught in adultery and her husband had the opportunity to divorce her. He could have got angry and bitter, but he gave her into the hands of God and got forgiveness and started to heal. And slowly reconciliation of the relationship happened. And they lived the rest of their life serving God in church together until they both recently passed away. It's a true story about a couple that I knew, and they got into a problem. But the man made a choice early in the hurt that he would take the hurt, hand it into the hands of God, and let God deal with it. When you forgive somebody, you say, God, I can't forgive. And you're exactly right. You cannot forgive without the forgiveness of God. You can't do it. You have to ask God for forgiveness. So you are true and you are right when you say, I can't forgive them. You cannot. God gives you forgiveness. You have to get your forgiveness from God. And then therefore you hand it back to them and say, God, it's all yours. When you put people into the hands of God and let go, it frees you up to do the will of God that God has for you. But a lot of times we just hold on to it. We hold on to our bitterness. We hold on to our anger. And you know why we hold on to it? Because we're comfortable with it. Because it's been with us for years and years and years. And we like things that we're comfortable with. And we hold on to it. And I know some folks, they've been bitter for 40 years, one lady said she was bitter. For 40 years of her life, she was bitter. She was bitter at her husband for 40 years. What kind of marriage is that? If God could provide freedom to you today, would you not allow him, because you raised your hand, you trust him, would you not trust him today to provide forgiveness for you? You have that person you're not forgiving. You have those that you have a grudge against. And you're holding on to it. And Satan has a way to control you. How do you feel playing the puppet? How do you feel playing around with Satan? It's never a fun game. It's never a fun time. But can I say to you today, God, to the Christian, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable. I've done so many sins. God, why have you forgiven me? Why? I can't understand why you would forgive me, God. I need to forgive as God forgave me. I need to. Why? One reason I need to forgive is because I'm commanded. Another reason I need to forgive is because I need to start healing my hurt and I need to start healing my pain. And another reason I need to forgive is so I can break that bondage of sin where Satan has control of my life and I need to break that. There's a story here about the abuser. A father abused his son and the son gets so bitter he blamed it on God and he got angry and mad and he said, I'll never forgive my dad and I'll never be like him. 10 years later, the son became the abuser in the family, just as the father did. You say, what is this? How does this even happen? I'll tell you how it happens is this. The Bible is clear. Think on these things. What you think about is what you do, what you become. The more of the word of God you pour into you, the more of like God you are wanting to be. If you think about evil things, guess what you will start to do? Evil things. The son was consumed and so bitter with the abuse of his father that every day he would think about it, 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 think about it. And it came down to the time where it was his time to be a father, and all that he had taught himself through all those years was my father abused me, father abused me, father abused me. So what did he just do? He pre-programmed himself into abuse. And the whole time he just needed to take it and put it into the hands of God and let God deal with it the way he knows how. God can deal with it in a really good way. He knows how to deal with sin. Do you trust him today? There's one more story here. It's a story about a person that started off sinning and they just started a really just a little bit at a time. But obviously the sin got worse and worse. And then it snowballed. It became a lot of sin. This person was sinning constantly, consistently. All of a sudden, it became even worse than that. It became to the point where it became violent. It became the rage and the anger came out in this person. And to the point where they came to one of their victims and they pointed their finger in their face and said, what are you going to do about this now? And spat in their face. And the person said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to love you. I'm going to forgive you. And the anger of the person, the rage of the person, they didn't know what to do as they looked there and they thought, man, that is not what I expected. But can I say that story right there is a very similar story with Jesus Christ being put up onto a cross and my sins, your sins, nailing him to the cross, and he still, out of his love, and out of his grace, his mercy, he threw his forgiveness on my sins when I raised my heart to him and saying, God, I'm a sinner. Would you forgive me? He says, yes, Ryan, I'll forgive you. God loves you so much and wants to forgive you. If you're not saved here today, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart today, your eternity is secured in hell. It's a sad spot. But can I tell you today, if you're not saved today, you're a sinner, I am too. But you're a sinner and your sin has to have a payment, and that payment, therefore, is hell and the lake of fire. And God sent his only begotten son, Jesus, to die on the cross so his blood could be shed so that your sins could be forgiven. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you don't know if your sins are forgiven today by the blood of Jesus Christ, today is the day where you need to get with God and say, God, I see that I am a sinner. I see that I am hopeless without you. I see that Satan has a hold on my life, and every time I try to do good, I cannot do it. I need your help, and I need your forgiveness in my life, and Lord Jesus, would you save me? If that's you today, if you've never accepted Jesus, I beg you, I plead with you, don't let Satan play with you any longer. Don't let Satan have a stronghold on your life. Let go. Let God have it. Go to God. Open your arms and ask for forgiveness. Christian, today, you're sitting in here today, and you're saying, I know the exact person in my mind right now who I'm mad at. I know the exact person in my life who I'm angry at. I know the exact person in my life who hurt me or who wounded me or who mistreated me in my life, and I'm not going to let them go. Satan's controlling you today. How long do you want to play the puppet? How long do you want him to have control in your life? This thing of forgiveness is freedom from that. Taking it, casting it into the hands of God, trusting God for who he is and how he handles things. People do not get away with sin with God taking care of it. They will never get away with it. Christian, today, I know some of you in here, you're probably like, Pastor Bourne, I'm not dealing with unforgiveness. Praise the Lord for it. But some of you in here today would be honest with yourself, as that verse says, if you say you have no sin, you're calling him a liar. Deal with your unforgiveness. Go to God. Ask him for forgiveness. Give that person, that situation, into the hands of God. Let him have it and walk away free. Would you bow your heads with me today? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to say, Christian, what will it take for you to forgive today? What will it take for you to forgive? Jesus forgives you. Anger, bitter, mad, hurt person. Do you want to start healing? Do you want to start happiness? Forgive. To the unsaved here today, you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior. Oh, today is the day that you can have freedom from your sin.